You're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Don Sutherland on the line. G'day, Don. How are you?
I'm very good. Well, thank you, Annie, and best wishes to you and all your listeners.
Yeah, and today we're going to talk about what the federal government probably thinks it's talking about when it talks about Australian-made.
Yes, I think it's really important to do that. One reason is that the struggle over the standard of living is, in a sense, in the first place, determined by the availability of jobs, including jobs that reverse the gross and rapid tendency towards a hot planet.
Yeah, and that's right.
What's been going on around the what is called the Future Made in Australia Act is a very big deal for working people, the majority of the population.
So what do you think they're on about? Because from what I can gather from the budget, their big line item seems to be war, manufacturing, and business as usual when it comes to fossil fuels.
Well, I don't think that's quite correct. I think there are contradictions in what they're doing, and which include support for war manufacturing. War making, that's certainly there. But this is a very big step in, it's important. I don't think it's big enough, but it's an important step in the right direction.
Tell us why. Tell us what you're thinking. Tell me about this.
The Future Made in Australia Act is almost exclusively focused on a green transition driven by manufacturing.
All right.
And doing so, it is correct from the point of view of the majority of the population, that we have a much more powerful manufacturing industry to not just drive green transition, but to provide new jobs that are more laden with skills and technical knowledge, real skills and technical knowledge into the future. It is true that since the mid-70s, Australia's manufacturing capacity has been thoroughly degraded. And for most of that time, there have been a couple of brief periods where it hasn't. But for most of that time, that corporate-controlled degrading of manufacturing has been supported and actively catalysed by most governments. So this proposal is basically for nearly $23 billion of government subsidies and tax credits to the private sector to beef up, accelerate Australia's green manufacturing capacity and therefore create more sovereign credibility for the Australian economy to be able to make things, not just dig them up and ship them out of the country.
Okay, and what does that look like in the real world?
Pardon?
What does that look like in the real world?
Well, $23 billion is probably not enough, but it is a step in the right direction with problems. And I think those of us who are active in unions and environmental organisations and feminist organisations as well, we need to be alert as to the potential for more powerful leverage if we are willing to organise intervention strategies to push this in a better direction. So in the real world, what this means is that, firstly, the $23 billion is really in the form, overwhelmingly, of trying to persuade investors, manufacturing corporations, and those associated with them to invest more powerfully in Australian manufacturing. Now, it is correct to do so because the evidence is there. I've discussed it in other programs, that manufacturing corporations and those associated with them have been a failure in terms of investing in Australian manufacturing. And for mostly that has been deliberate. However, the support for stimulating investment is, in a sense, mainly corporate welfare. The conditionalities, if you like, on what the government for the people and what the people directly get out of that $23 billion over 10 years is are very weak at the present time. And in my view, that's not enough to say it should not be supported for reasons that I'll come to. It's a reason for us to be far more organised to ensure that the scheme is improved upon. The two fundamental assumptions are these. This is the two fundamental assumptions in the government's approach with its Future Made in Australia Act. The first one is that profits have not been big enough to fund new private investment where it counts. And where it counts is in the transition to a green economy.
Isn't that incredible? Saving the planet for future life and the profits aren't great enough.
There have been sufficient profits to be able to have been invested. But what I think is going on is that because of the way the system works, the rate of profit is not adequate to attract the new investment.
I understand what you're saying. It's the business model.
My own research is showing that, and I'll publish that in the next few days. The second assumption that is about there is a volume of profits that is available. Unlike what the government says, there is a volume of profit that is available. In fact, there's one estimate that there is something like $54 billion sitting there waiting to be unleashed and which potentially this policy can release. The second assumption that flows from that is that the capitalist class as we know it can be trusted of its own accord to respond positively. And I say both of those assumptions, that we don't have enough profits in the system, and secondly, that the capitalist class can be trusted to do what is right in terms of green transition, that both of them are wrong. And so it means that there must be some sort of more powerful conditionalities or policing arrangement that goes with the government support that is being proposed. Now, I don't think, in fact, I'll say this. I don't think Labor's neoliberalism will not of its own accord take that step. My argument is that we must become more powerfully organised at worker and community and industry level against leaving the near-absolute control of investment decision-making to the boards of private corporations and their owners. Having said that those two assumptions are wrong, however, it's still, in my view, a necessary step. That's what I'm arguing.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. So let me put it this way. There is substantial opposition to what the government is proposing, and that opposition comes from The Australian and the Australian Financial Review, or they are the vehicle for that opposition.
Okay, all right. So we know that this is the Boss Wallace and Murdoch and all his ilk, okay?
Yeah, and that's their purpose is to use to assist Dutton to bring
that's right. Yeah, they don't actually care about anything.
Yeah, exactly. The critical thing is that anyone who opposes this proposal opposes this program is actually defending the status quo.
Yep.
And as I have shown and can show, each element of the status quo is a dead end for the transition to a green economy. It's also a dead end for democracy. Part of the purpose of opposing of those who oppose it in the Australian and the Australian Financial Review is that it means the government is interfering too much in the rights of corporations to make their own decisions, and it brings in too much red tape, or as they call it, green tape. What they're actually saying is anti-democratic. Now, the struggle to bring democracy into this reform is not going to be led by the government, by this Labor government. It can only come from the people. And it is important that the people be informed, able to discuss and encouraged to intervene to gain greater control over the opportunities that are going to emerge.
So what you're really saying, I guess, is that you've got to focus on the ball. You've got to remember that what we're after is a green economy and saving the planet.
Yes, and that won't come without a more powerful manufacturing industry.
Yeah.
It won't without a more powerful manufacturing industry. And all of, and this is where you get to some of the conceptual content, also not just conceptual, the practical content of what they're proposing. The issues they are focused on are sound. Now, I'm not talking there about this business of trusting the corporation. I'm talking about the issues they are focusing on.
So what you're saying is that their analysis, they're good at analysis, but all the rest of it is politics.
No, it's not
power all politics.
It's not all politics. There is parliamentary politics mixed up in it. Of course, there is.
No. I don't mean parliamentary politics. I mean, how do you get people to do the right thing? It's politics.
Well, the key at the moment is to take our clues from those communities where there is already people-based intervention organisations. And the two best ones are, of course, in the Hunter Valley.
Yep, that's right.
And in southwest of Western Australia.
That's right, yep.
Now, in other words, it's sort of, what they are on about is what I would call productive environmentalism.
Mm.
That is environmentalism that is based on investment that in productive schemes to drive along the material content of a green transition. And therefore, it is driven by democratic intervention. It is more democratic than leaving it to the private corporations. Because if we do leave it to the private corporations, it's a dead end, ultimately.
Yeah, it's too important.
That even any sort of marginally positive outcome is exposed to rates of exploitation of the workforce that are going to be necessary and will be employed that are worse than established standards. And so the democratic intervention is about economic and environmental transition. It's about reducing the rate of exploitation of the workers who are employed in all of the schemes that develop. So a good example is actually very local for me. Cannon Brooks, one of Australia's richest billionaires, wants to build, through his company Sun Cable, a green manufacturing plant that will manufacture underwater cable for the transmission of solar and other green generated electricity. And the first big project is into Singapore. Now, this is a big deal. There's something like 300 jobs in construction, and they say up to 400 jobs in the ongoing manufacturing. The big problem for our community is how to work out how we as a community can be involved in making sure that this is indeed a viable project in the first instance from the point of view of the community, and that secondly, all of the different issues at stake are subjected to local democratic community influence and control, including with the unions. The best league to take, in my view, lies with the sort of material that has been produced for 40 years by the Australian Manufacturing Workers Union, who have been the most consistent and articulate champion of manufacturing industry over that whole period.
That's true.
And their most recent report, released just a day or so, which is focused on solar manufacturing for the supply of green energy, is really another step in that direction. I think there is one gap in it, which is a bit surprising to me, but it is another example. And we get a line from all of those reports going way back to Australia Uprooted on how people's organisations can intervene and challenge the dominant control of governments and the dominant logic that somehow or other private corporations know everything there is to know about transitions to a greener economy.
Yeah, it's interesting you should say that, because obviously the working class, as a general rule, and the professional class have the technical skills. Now, the idea that people who are skilled at making lots of money and feathering their own nests should be in control of the future is so abhorrent.
Yes, and I think that would be basically a dead end, leaving it to them. I think there is a serious question mark over this step in the right direction if it's just left to the control of corporations. Now, this we come back then to, you know, is what the government providing enough? There is some direct money available. It's not very big, but two or three of those direct monies are maybe not inadequate, but they're certainly very helpful. So, for example, there is some millions of dollars to be spent for the redevelopment of TAFE, so that the skilled workers can be the workers can be found and skilled up, and that includes a specific millions of dollars for women who wish to work in what have been traditional male-dominated apprentices and trade and technical skills, technical knowledge.
They've also put in some money for supporting apprenticeships.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And there are two or three schemes around that, but one of them is embedded in Future Made in Australia Act, and that's I think that's very important.
Yep.
And this is an opportunity for both unions and the women's movement to intervene there and take advantage of that and go for more, because it does need more than what's being proposed. The second area where there is direct money available is to assist communities to intervene. It's not enough, but it's not talked about enough, and there's not enough discussion going on in our own movements about how to take advantage of such government support. You see, one of the issues here is, should governments intervene? Well,
what are they for?
And the AFR say no, they've got to stay out of it, except maybe to give free handouts unconditionally to the corporation.
Ridiculous.
Corporate welfare. We say government should intervene, but there should be conditionalities. And one of them should be that associated with government investment, there is equal public ownership. And that means a return of some of the surplus that's generated back to public, for further public spending, and also that there is support, active support, for communities to develop, if you like, community commissions to drive green transition democratically. As I said, there is money there to do that. We have to learn how to use it, and in doing that, learn how to demand more of government to become an enabler of democratic influence and control over this transition.
Well, thank you very much for looking into this for us.
Well, I think this is a different sort of a topic that we're discussing. But remember, the leaving it, the most important thing is that the status quo is a failure, and that this step is a modest step in the right direction, and we have to drive it so that it is more democratic and more powerful than it currently is.
Thank you very much. Well, we will look forward to hearing more about what happens locally in northwest Tasmania with this green project, and also hopefully we'll get more obvious community action to use some of this money in a positive way.
Yeah, we have to learn how to be aware of the contradictions in what the government is proposing, but to grasp hold of its essence, and its essence is a step in the right direction.
Thanks, Don. Talk to you soon.
All the best to everybody. Bye for now.